Dear colleagues, please take your seats. Dear colleagues, those 30 minutes that Framework of Interpretation Working Group saved for us, they used those 30 minutes reporting to the GAC. Meanwhile, we had to reshuffle our agenda, so now we will have a report from Secure Email Communication Working Group. And after that, we will hopefully everyone will come back and we will have questions and answers session right after presentation. Therefore, please take your seats quietly. Shh, Margarita! So, set up an example. Yeah, Jacques, the floor is yours.
Hello, my name is Jacques, I'm with Dottier, and Fred from BR. So I'm here to present our status update on the Secure Email Communication for CCTLD Incident Response Working Group, Secure for short. And so we started the Secure Working Group about 6 months ago-ish, 3 months? Yeah, about 3 months ago. And it's a follow-up from another working group, which is the Contact Repository Implementation Working Group. And in there was a recommendation to build a contact repository for all CCTLDs and a secure email system for CCTLDs to communicate with each other. So the goal is to, the objective of the working group is to implement a functional service, secure service, by Q4 2014. That's the objective that was stated in the other working group. And so far we've been meeting almost weekly and we're actually making progress on that. The idea is to build a contact repository of all the security contacts within each CCTLD so that potentially we could send an email to all the CCTLD on the planet, one shot, reaching all the right people. And that's the objective we're working on. The goal also is to build a system in production by Q4 with very near zero cost, so as low cost as possible. So we look at that in our requirements. And the goal of the platform that we need to select, it needs to integrate with regional organization like Center and like TLD and so on. So the contact, the idea is if you're a contact once in a global repository, then you can be assigned to a region and then we don't have to duplicate information. So it makes it more efficient. And the goal also is to be bigger than the CCNSO, it's to reach all CCTLDs on the planet. I don't know if you can see this well. So basically the idea is that we've looked at various models to create the repository. The challenge is populating the system with the contact information, and we've decided, based on our requirement, is to use a delegation model where the CCTLD manager assigns security and stability contacts, that's what the SSC are, in the system. And basically the database is for CCTLDs used by CCTLDs. So all the contacts in there, for example, the requirements say that for .ca, all the people need to have 0.ca email addresses. You can't use personal address. It's for CCTLD to be used. So the contact repository is, I don't know if you can see my mouse there. Yeah. So this piece here is a contact repository, and then it integrates with a secure messaging system. So the idea is that any individual in the secure database could repository could send an email to all of the contacts for all the CCTLD, and that's the first ring that we have here. And then, so if somebody detects an incident, that person can send to the entire group a notification that this is happening in this region or whatever. So the objective is that out of that incident, people could create sub-working group to deal with specific incidents, like Configure would be an example, or DNSOK, or all that stuff. So they have the ability to create separate working group based on security incident with the right people, and also have the option to invite external people in those group to manage the security incident. So we've documented the requirement for this. We documented what the repository should look like, what the email system should look like, and how the overall administration of that system should look like. So one of the big objectives was to integrate with regional groups. There's multiple options we're looking at, but potentially if you send an email to all contacts, either the email goes to the global group and not the regional group, or if the email goes to the regional group as well. So we need to figure out how the integration of, let's say, center security people would integrate with this system. So we still have a few questions to look at. So once we started to look at this, there's an open source platform, Ops Trust, that's available that meets the requirement to do this. The issue is it's a piece of software, so we need somebody to run the software, to tune it to meet our requirement. And we're looking at, we've had discussion with DNS OARC to operate this platform on our behalf, to administer the platform, and also to customize to meet our need initially. We're looking at costs. The working group objective was to have very, very low cost email system. There might be some costs for customization or operation in the future. So that's something we need to look at, but I don't think it's exorbitant amount of money. It's something we can afford. The Ops Trust platform is being open source right now, and DNS OARC has the authorization or will be looking at implementing that. So we've made good progress. Also, this Saturday, there was a DNS OARC board meet, AGM, and we've presented this to the community, the DNS OARC community, and there was no objection for having OARC to run this. So we're in good position to have a functional, secure repository and email system by Q4 this year, or maybe a little bit later, depending on resource availability at the work. Next step, so we need the secure working group. Based on, if you approve this approach, we'll wrap up our requirement. We'll supply that to DNS OARC. They're going to give us, in return, work cost estimate to have the secure platform up and running. And by the next ICANN meeting, we should have probably training slides close to on how to use the system and how to join the secure mailing system. So we have two feedback questions. So based on this, we need to do the green or just raise your hand if you're in favor. I forgot to change. There you go. Got to do both. So based on the people here, I'd like to know if you're in favor of the model that we presented or not. And the second question is, are you okay in having DNS OARC operate this platform on our behalf? So question one, green, or just raise your hand if it's good, if there's no cards. Okay. People not in favor. It's fun. So far, so good. Okay. So we'll work with that model. The second one is Are you okay in having DNS OARC as an organization to operate this platform on our behalf? Okay. And not people have issues with DNS OARC? Raise your hand. Okay.
It's a done deal.
Done deal. Check. Thank you. So this is the people on the working group, Federico, me, Erwin, Christiane couldn't make it here.
He's the chair,
actually. He's the chair, yeah. Nice. And Genda and Adibu. I don't know where. They were supposed to be here. Oh, well. Thank you. So hopefully by the next ICANN meeting.
Hey?
Questions?
So please, all the nominees come up to the table to answer the questions.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the session, the well-advertised session, talking with our nominees to the CCNSO Council and also our nominee to the board. Several of you have said to me candidates should have a grilling. Some of you have said they should have a light toasting. I am going to rely on you also asking questions. But as you imagine, I have some other I have thought up just in case people do not have questions. And I think I'm missing Margarita.
She's on the phone.
She's on the phone. It's her birthday. We'll let her do that. Okay, so our time for this session has been cut short a bit, so I will ask candidates for nice, concise, crisp questions. We had a lovely example earlier of a very non-crisp and lengthy question. Please don't copy that particular country. Okay, so first of all, we are going to start with questions for the CCNSO nominees. And interestingly, all of you have been on the CCNSO before for varying lengths of time. So let me just pre-warn you, I'm going to start with Katrina. For all of you, let's look back a minute. When you first stood for the council, why did you stand and what were you hoping to achieve? And Katrina, you've been on the council since 2012, so this is your first time you're re-standing. Look back a minute. What were you hoping to do?
Yes, I've been asking myself same question. Why did I? Why did I stand? Well, I was approached by Juhani, actually, and he was about to leave. Unfortunately, he could not continue his term on the council, and therefore he asked me if I would agree if he nominate me for the remaining term. Then, of course, there was Andre, who was a second candidate, and we had to fight against each other and being good friends, and well, of course, this seemed, yeah, I can do that, and I can do something good for the community. Yes, I foresee the next question. I wanted to do much more than I did, so therefore I really would be happy to continue 3 more years to complete some things that are still I still have in my mind, but still haven't managed to do.
Okay, so same question with Vika, but Vika, this would be your third term on the council. So you've been around since 2009 on the council. What have you achieved, and what more would you hope to do in a third term?
That's an interesting one, Leslie. Was sometimes, in being honest, you can say one of the achievements has been to make sure nobody stands to contest elections against me from the region. But that's not an achievement. I think the most important thing has been to synergize the flow of issues from the CCNSO, especially the council, to the region that I represent, Africa. Having been with the regional TLD organization there for 6 years as well as a board member. So that's been one of the key achievements, as well as to participating and having the presence of the African region in the CCNSO working groups and structures. I've been with the finance working group. I was for a couple of years in the program working group. And pretty much that's what's been achieved in the last few years.
Okay, thank you. Youngham, now you amazingly have been on the council since 2004, and don't look a day older than when you started. What were you trying to achieve, and what do you hope to achieve now?
Thank you, Leslie, and so do you. I you just took me back to the creation of the CCNSO and the heated debate that we had within the CCTLD when we were under the DNSO, a constituency of the DNSO. And we were having this heated debate about whether the CCs were being given the appropriate recognition within ICANN, as we should have, and the fact that ICANN had recognized that, and during its reform, it gave the CCs an SO status. And that's why the CCs decided to be to remain a part of ICANN, and the CCNSO was created. I was fortunate to be a part of that debate, and I strongly felt that the CCs needed a strong voice within ICANN. And I just thought, okay, if I could. Because I was there and because I knew I was able to contribute a little bit to that process, I thought if I could continue doing that, I will. And so here I am after all these years.
Okay, Byron, 2009 you joined. I seem to take some of the responsibility for that, so I will admit to that up front. This is your second term you've just completed. You're up for a third.
Yes, I think you do bear some responsibility for this. I seem to remember being voluntold at some point that I should participate. And suddenly here I am all these years later. In terms of a third term, you know, I am interested in continuing on in terms of the role I have as a counselor for a couple of reasons. One, I find, just from a personal front, I find the work that we do to be relevant, important, interesting, and certainly given the events that have unfolded since March and the U.S. government announcement, absolutely critical to all of us, and certainly to my own organization in CIRA. So not only do I find the work interesting, but it is absolutely critical to the health of my organization. So on a personal front, there's that. But I think much more importantly than that is I believe in the work that this organization does, that we represent very well within the ICANN community. And I think that we are while we're very different in many ways among each other, we often are able to represent a common, reasoned, calm, thoughtful front on significant issues in the overall ICANN fold. And, you know, for the time being, I have support of my board, which gives me the opportunity and the time to actually devote to these kinds of issues on behalf of this group. And I'm happy to do that.
Thank you, Baron. You mentioned time, and I have some stats on time in a while. I was going to ask about people's ability to develop and commit to the time that's needed to be on the council. But before we do that, Margarita, this would be your second term on the CCNSO council. Why did you stand, first of all? Why are you re-standing?
Okay. First of all, I need to thank to Nick Thiele because they support me. And my first question was to my director, Patricio, if he support the idea to reapply for the council. Second, I have the normally I perceive and the support of my colleagues in the region in Latin America. We are very active in LAC-TLD, and if we have the opportunity, and in the case of me, to have the support and time and the motivation to contribute to this community, it's an excellent place to do it. And I would love to have more participation in the groups. Sometimes I felt a little shy in terms of I'm not a native English speaker, so sometimes the discussions are very hard for me. But I put my best effort for that, and my expectation is in this term to have more participation in another groups that need more counselors in them.
Excellent. Okay. Has anyone any questions? Otherwise, I can carry on with my list. No, Mathieu, I'm relying on you. Can we get a mic to Mathieu, please? And while we're doing that, let me just continue, unless that's very quick. Okay.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, everyone, for the clear descriptions. And I'm happy to see the quality of the candidates. My question will go to Byron, not as a candidate for the North American region, but more as the chair of the council. It strikes me that we have around a range of elections this year with only one candidate per seat on the council. And you may have heard there are discussions about accountability right now. And I think the democracy and accountability and elections are one way to hold the councillors accountable. And so I have a concern that because we are not really into elections, we're not actually promoting our model as a democratic model and an accountable model for councillors. So my question is, how does the council take that into account? Is that a concern that you share within the council, and how would you plan to address this in the future?
So just to be clear, in terms of how the council is accountable to the community, or did I get how councillors could be accountable to the community? Certainly overall, I think that should be a concern, not that there's any particular issue to be concerned about right now, but without a doubt, that should be one of our concerns at all times. How are we accountable? There's the democratic process, which we're engaged in. On the other hand, as you can see from most of the regions, there's only one candidate. So, yes, there's an election taking place, but it doesn't have the accountability function inherent in an election where there's more than one candidate. So, of course, that's a concern. So part of the accountability, I think, is trying to tease out more people to participate in the election process, more people to stand up, for roles on the council. So I also look to all the people who are sitting here in this room to think about standing and running, obviously not this time, but in the future, to make sure that we have a healthy, accountable group of potential counselors. So I think that's one thing right there, is how do we tease out more people to participate here? And that would help ensure overall accountability. I think there are probably some other practical, logistical things that we can do just in terms of participation and co-accountability, what I would call co-accountability. How do we hold each other on the council in particular, but in the broader community, accountable for the work that we're doing or not, our participation in working groups, et cetera, or not? And on that front, I think it's up to us as councillors to make sure that we hold our peers on council as accountable as possible on a day-to-day basis. And whether that's just making sure you're on a phone call where sometimes we don't get quorum because people don't show up. It's incumbent upon us to do those kinds of things, to hold each other accountable. So those would be sort of a general higher level principle in terms of more people participating in the process, and another specific tactical thing that we need to make sure we have in terms of the culture of the council.
Thank you, Byron. I was going to raise exactly that issue actually on participation, because when I was chair, sometimes it was difficult to get a quorum on the council for decisions. And also, it was sometimes very difficult to encourage people to participate. And I have some participation stats here that I could embarrass various candidates with, but I won't. But I would just say, you know, you are elected in a personal capacity, but you cannot act without support from your employer, support from your family, support from others around you. Can I run down the line again and ask people to comment on how much support they have for standing this year and whether they would like to be able to participate more, or whether they feel they are exemplary in terms of the level of attendance and support they are able to provide to the CCNSO. Katrina.
Yes, thank you. That's a good question. I'd like to start by thanking Daiva from .lt for nominating me, and Vagelis from .gr for seconding. Well, talking about support, Daiva promised never, ever nominate me again. So I have to do my best to finish everything I started and everything I have in my mind so within the next 3 years. But here I can see Giovanni is supporting me, showing a picture saying that we love you. So I really feel that. I feel support from colleagues, and it really means a lot. Thank you.
Okay. Margarita, are you able to attend enough? You were talking about earlier increasing your participation.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Well, as I said, in this, always my goal is to be in the conference calls and participate. And normally, when some issues are interesting for my community, normally I send emails to LACT-LD that it permits they could be updated what is happening in the council.
Okay. Vika.
Yeah, support is important, as you said, from your employer, because you have to allocate some time to these meetings, to your family as well, and also from the community, especially in my case from AFTLD. They were the ones who nominated me, well, who've nominated me all this time around. There was an item on accountability that Matthew raised, which was interesting. For me this time around, I had to, at some point, explain certain things to AFTLD about my participation, or lack thereof, in the past year, which was clarified. I took that as an important accountability measure, you know, to say, listen, we saw this year, this and this was not happening. what was the reason, you know, as part of the nomination and being seconded into this.
Okay, Yangam?
Thank you, Leslie. I thought this was going to be a moment of self-criticism, of recognizing the deficiencies of myself so far. But I have to admit that I haven't been as active as I should have been, especially within the AP region. I see that there's a lot more, coordination among regions like the Latin America and Europe, and actually that's what the AP region has been discussing at the suggestion of Don, who mentioned that the AP region should get something together. Start something that maybe the Latin American region and the European region has been doing, and this is, and we've been discussing that, and we are going to discuss that, and I think that's something that I would like to start more active things on.
Excellent. I think it's key for people to give that accountability, and thank you for your honesty on that. Byron?
In terms of support, I mean, I have the support of my organization currently, and I can say that and be held accountable because the chair of my board is in the room as we speak. So I do have support from my board at this time, and we believe that overall the work of the CCNSO, and in particular the issues around IANA and accountability, are critical to us all and critical to us as individual organizations, and therefore currently have the support of my board in participating. And as also my organization generally, I have the benefit of having policy people to support me in the day-to-day activities of the CCNSO.
Okay. Any more questions for CCNSO candidates before I move on to Mike? Not literally. Okay. Anyone? Okay, can we just express our thanks to the candidates for standing and for being successfully nominated, and subject to the council resolution tomorrow, duly elected. And we look forward to you delivering on those commitments. Thank you. Okay, so Mike, where are you? Okay. First elected by the CCNSO in 2009, and then for a second term, you're up for a final term, which would be your last one, I think, if I understand the bylaws correctly.
My last consecutive one.
Your last consecutive one. Gosh, you're a sucker for punishment. Okay, so you're there as a board member, therefore you are independent, but of course, You regularly come and are accountable to the CCNSO community. Do you think the CCNSO is given sufficient consideration at the ICANN board? What are your successes in terms of bringing our views to the attention of the board? And what are areas where maybe, with hindsight, things could have been done slightly differently?
Thanks, Leslie. It's a big stage. So firstly, thank you to those who have nominated me. I think it's worth discussing the question of the nomination and the status of the CCNSO process around selection of board members, but let's get on to that a little bit later. In terms of, is the CCNSO taken seriously enough? I think it is, but I think there's hard work in doing that. Possibly because this is a community that gets on and does its own work first and foremost, that unless the CCNSO community is making a particular fuss about a particular issue, for example, around transition and accountability, for the rest, you need to keep dragging back and saying it's not all about GTLDs. in a very similar vein, my colleagues appointed or selected by the NRO have a very similar situation where they keep going back saying it's not only about names. Yes, the main focus may be names, but it's not only about names. And I think that's one of the critical things, is you're not there as an advocate, you're not there as a cheerleader for the SO that appoints you. But at the same time, keeping that focus when so much of the noise and so much of the attention is in the GTLD space is absolutely critical. And I think that's something that I've done reasonably well. In my first term, it wasn't always easy because the CCNSO had another appointee who was not necessarily focused on the views of the CCNSO and seemed to have used his selection by the CCNSO to get onto a bigger stage. Great person, a great candidate, but his focus seemed to wane from this issue. My perspective, first and foremost, is somebody who comes from the CC community. I still serve on Vika's board, and until such time as our minister appoints a new board, it seems that I'm pretty stuck there. But my passion, my background, my history is on the country codes. And while I'm not directly and operationally involved, I think I have that as a first point of view. But the one thing that I need to throw back to you and say, because I'm not directly involved on a day-to-day basis as a CCNSO manager, I need possibly more input than, for example, somebody like Chris. Chris, being a CC manager, is more familiar with some of the day-to-day challenges. I could use some additional feedback on where the touch points are, where the pain points are, what's going on. Because the other thing that I think I bring, and I'm not sure if it's good or bad, is that I actually have a day job that's outside of this industry. I work for a telco that builds fiber networks across Africa. So I'm not fully immersed in the DNS industry. And on that basis, now, we can ask the question whether that's good or bad. And, you know, I think that there are points to be made on both sides, that not being in the DNS industry on a full-time basis, I add additional perspective. I bring certain values that come from a general business and governance perspective. But it also means that I'm not necessarily drinking the Kool-Aid on a daily basis. And sometimes I need more input. And that, I think, is the responsibility of the SO that sends me, is to actually provide me with that feedback and involve me, immerse me in some of the issues that they're facing.
Okay. So I think I heard about getting those connections, you know, up and running effectively and so on. What successes have you had? What things do you feel particularly proud of?
I think it's, well, being involved in the selection of a new CEO who I think has brought a fresh air to the way we do things at ICANN, pushing back very hard on some of the management decisions that negatively affected the CCNSO, as well as the organisation as a whole, I think are two areas where I took a degree of leadership. At the moment, I chair the Board Risk Committee, and we have swung that committee around. From previously being a part-time afterthought, it's now taking a pretty focused area in the space. I think that my dissenting voice on the new GTLD program is something that I'm also pretty proud of, to actually stand up and say, this organization is not mature enough to take forward some of these issues. And while my voice was drowned out by the applause, I think some of the reservations that I expressed and some of the issues that I raised have come through. So, for example, I took a huge compliment yesterday from the legal staff when we were discussing some of the new GTLD evaluations, and I was looking for the Geographic Names Panel reports. And you wouldn't be surprised to realize that there are none, because the one sentence reporting was simply included in the initial evaluation and extended evaluation and tracked in the disgraced TAS system. And then go and look at the community priority evaluations. And they're comprehensive reports, standalone reports on each and every evaluation, well-reasoned, well thought through, and I didn't draft them. But I was used as the litmus in terms of what's expected of ICANN in terms of actually delivering documents against which decisions can be measured and evaluated. And that's a fire against I hold every person's feet in this organization, staff, my board colleagues, and the SOs and ACs, is don't just express an opinion and because you've put it in a document, think that it's there. It actually needs to be motivated, justified, and it needs to be accessible to people going forward so that there's a record of a decision made as well as the thinking and the reasoning behind that record. And that's something that I'm going to keep banging on about, whether it's in the IANA transition, accountability and transparency, or day-to-day operations, is we need to be open, we need to be transparent, we need to be able to access not just the decision, but also the thinking and the reasoning behind the decision.
Okay, thank you. So can I just check if anyone in the audience wants to ask a question, in which case we'll get you a mic. Ooh, okay. I'm eating into your schedule here, Katrina. I know Byron had a question as well, so whilst we get a mic to roll off, Byron, and maybe if we could take the questions and then Mike get you to cover all of them, so you need a pen at the ready. Okay, Byron?
Sure, Mike. This is, well, thank you for standing, first off, and having been a board member, which I know is a considerable time requirement. Question is one of governance overall, particularly as we go into these interesting times around IANA and accountability, and that's in the context of you are a board member of a U.S. private corporation, and that has a very clear set of requirements in terms of duty of care and duty of loyalty to do what's in the best interests of that corporation and not necessarily what's in the best interest, perhaps, of the constituency that puts you there. And I don't say that to frame it up negatively. That's just the fact of private corporation law in the U.S. So how do you bring forward the interest? Can you talk to us a little bit about how you bring forward the interests of the community that you're from, given the requirements you have in terms of duty of loyalty in the organization you're a board member of?
Okay, so let's accumulate the questions. We have Roloff, and then Mathieu, and then Don. Roloff?
Thank you, Leslie. Mike, it's always been a bit of attention, and I know that it has the specific attention of the ICANN board now, but can you give us a bit of your insights on how the time or the attention of the CEO should be spent between improving the quality of the organization itself and things like internationalization or globalization, I should say, and internet governance in the global scene?
Don't forget, we've still got the session with board members coming to visit the CCNSO at some stage, I think. Katrina, on the schedule? We're not sure. Okay, Mathieu and then Don, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike, for standing. I know it's a very, very heavy involvement and commitment that you've demonstrated for several years now. I'd like to ask for a very concise answer on a very brief question. Which are the two or three items that we as CCNSO members can hold you accountable to in your next term?
Okay, Don?
Thank you, Don Hollander from APTLD. Mike, how well do you think your colleagues on the board understand the special nature of CCTLDs? And what effort is being made for the new board members to make sure that they understand the special nature of the CCTLDs and your role in that? Thank you.
Okay, so if I just briefly summarize, that was questions around independence and also at the same time being elected by a constituency. CEO time, where should it be dedicated? The three things you will deliver or you plan to deliver, and board understanding of CCTLDs.
Got them. Thanks, Leslie. Thanks for all of the questions. Regarding this question of the best interests of the corporation and whether there's a contradiction over there, I don't see it as such. I think it does create a slight nuance in terms of when you're viewing, considering, possibly even voting on an issue. But ultimately, while this organization doesn't have members or shareholders, ultimately the best interests of the corporation have to be aligned, in my opinion, with the public benefit as regards the operation of the internet's unique identifiers. So in my view, there is no ability to advance the interests of the corporation ahead of the public benefit. Now, I do understand that there may be certain direct operational decisions where there may appear not to be a full regard for public interest. But ultimately, my view is that these are stakeholders. The public good is ultimately our guide, and the interest of the corporation cannot contradict that. So I don't see there as being a significant tension over there. It does mean occasionally on issues like officer compensation and things like that, items are kept secret, confidential rather, until the 990 is published. In terms of some of the decisions we make may not be fully transparent, and that's an interesting further debate. But I personally take the notion of public interest throughout. So then, in terms of the program for the year, what Rilof was talking about, and I'd be interested to get Chris's view there as well, but I think we all, well, there are many in the voices in the community that regard too much time having been spent on external issues in the last year and possibly not enough on internal issues. And I think my view is that your house needs to be in order for you to go out and say, we're the custodian, the right custodian for certain of these functions. We're the right entity to take forward certain of these roles, or we'd like to be a willing partner and participant in certain issues where we're not going to be the custodian, but where we're a significantly interested partner. And in that regard, I really think that this year has to be a year of internal consolidation. While we can't take our eye off what's happening externally, I think that we need to do a lot of evaluation. The new GTLD program is the initial part of the new GTLD program is coming to an end, which means that we need to do a lot of internal analysis, introspection, what was good, what was not good. Are we going to launch further rounds as the GNSO policy requires? What's involved over there? Secondly is accountability, and I think that's a huge issue. It's very difficult for us, and whether you want to couple or decouple the issues, it's very difficult for us to go ahead when we do have a history and a legitimate history of complaints around process followed or not followed, of decisions taken or not taken, and while the decisions may have been correct, the communication having been absolutely awful. And I think these are all areas which need us to say, if we're going to be taken seriously as a mature organization, we need to make sure that we behave in a mature manner in how we interact with people. And that doesn't mean, as maybe you had the experience when you were children, being sent out of the room when the adults were talking. If we're going to expect everybody to treat us like adults, then all the adults need to be in the room when the discussion is had. There are no secret deals. There's no misunderstandings or, you know, fait accompli, which are then presented to the community without the community being engaged. Matteo, I think really excellent question. in terms of the two or three things, that's an interesting one, because is that things that I will deliver versus ICANN will deliver? It's a question I'd like to engage with you and with the CCNSO a little bit further, because I would have absolutely no objection putting together a set of KPIs and coming back to you in a year's time and saying, well, Mike, please present against your KPIs. It's something I'd like to give a bit more thought to, and I'd be very interested in what the community's thought is in terms of what should comprise those KPIs. But I have no problem with the notion of let's look at some key deliverables and how we get there. And then lastly, Don, in terms of your question, no, it's really not well understood. And because of the amount, and as much as Chris and I try very hard, for example, on Sunday morning we had a policy briefing, all of the policy staff explaining what's going on. Bart did his presentation. There were questions because people didn't understand how this fitted in. We're keeping on having to repeat, because the experience of the majority of people on the board, even those who are not US-centric and have experience of their own country code, that don't understand the special nature of the CCTLD community and the specific provisions that are put in around the creation of the CCNSO. And it's an ongoing requirement that they be reminded and that the issue be raised. And unfortunately, because of the volume of work that's coming in and a lot of it GTLD related, in 3 months' time, you need to remind them again. And 2 months after that, you need to remind them then. And to some extent, whoever the CCNSO selects for the board position has to have the patience to keep coming back to that same issue and raising it in a polite but firm manner and saying, you're ignoring the special nature of the CCNSO. You're ignoring the impact of the IANA function on CCTLDs. This is not just a GTLD or just a general global internet governance issue. Those of us in country rely on the predictability of the IANA function for connectivity in our country. Don't forget that you need to pay regard to that. And that's something that unfortunately fades away after a little while and needs to be brought up again, and people need to be reminded.
Okay. I think we need to close it there because we have exceeded our time. But I think that was a very good set of questions. And thank you for your answers, Mike. And as you know, quite a few people in the CCSO are very keen on KPIs. So we may well take you up on your offer for KPIs
absolute pleasure,
next
Leslie. My one comment that I would make, if I could close, and apologies for jumping in at the time, is I'm term limited. So this is my last term, or at least my last successive term. I was somewhat disappointed that there was nobody who was willing to run again. So this time, or in 3 years' time, you have no option. You've got to find somebody. For any of you who are in the room who may be interested, please come and talk. The ICANN board is a bit of a learning curve. The idea is, as far as possible, and I know the CCNSO is effective and efficient and gets people in a year before their term starts, but Chris and I are there to mentor, to help. If anybody's interested and wants to understand the time commitment now rather than in 3 years' time waking up and doing this in a rush, please come and talk to me. We need to look at good succession planning. We need to look at good options. And I would like to start doing that now. If people are interested, if they're just contemplating it, I'm more than happy to keep it confidential so you're not accused of lobbying or jockeying for position. But if you've got any questions, you want any insights in terms of how the board works, time commitments, whatever else is required, please come and chat to me. I'm always available.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. And we'll make sure that offer is shared more widely with people who maybe aren't able to be in the room today. Please join me in thanking you and everyone on the panel for this session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and we reconvene at 2. 2 sharp, yes, in 40 minutes. Because we have guest presenters, so please be here on time. Thank you.